Tell Stacy, come on in. I was going to get you to sit back there.
You want me to sit back here? I'll sit back there just to make you happy, Tom. I aim to please.
Yeah, you're so helpful at times, I'd want you behind my back.
What's the matter? Yeah,
you're
I
helpful.
I would never stab you in the back.
No, I said, I said you're so helpful.
I want you to see me coming.
I'm trying to pay her a compliment and what I get.
I don't know, that's right.
I said, you're so helpful at times, I don't want you at my back. Well, I'll stab you in the back. All right. It's good to see everyone this morning, especially Brenda. Good to have her back. And Buddy and Kathy, good to have you back. And I would remind everyone that we are spraying down the church after every service. That's morning, night, Wednesday night. And we're doing everything we can. I would reiterate to you and remind you, if you have symptoms of any kind, cold, flu, allergies, stay home. Stay home till you know. And then we'll try to protect each other. We'll try to keep the church clean. But we want to be here. And so... We'll get you some water.
Don't run out. I'm negative. I'm one side. I can take this side.
Keep you some water. I have the cough. It'll help you. All right. Let's move on. We are in the book of Galatians. Now, I'm going to ask someone to pose the question for me. That's okay. Hey, she knows, and she knows. It says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from
him.
That's what we've been dealing with. You see, if we'll focus on him, we'll first of all, we'll see why Paul is so bewildered, so perplexed. Remember that word. It'll come back today. So in shock. That someone could so quickly believe the gospel, say they believed the gospel, and then remove themselves from him. I'm going to tell you something. You can remove yourself from Liberty Fellowship Church. You can remove yourself from your family. But you can't remove yourself from him. Because Liberty Fellowship Church don't save you. And your family may love you. But we can't save you. And so he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that hath called you unto the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel, which is not another. And that is so serious that Paul said this, if me or an angel from heaven or anyone else preach unto you the gospel which I have, another gospel which I have preached unto you, let them go to hell. Now, he says it in a different vernacular. He says it, let them be cursed. It's the same thing. Listen, if you're cursed, you ain't going to heaven. And so it's so serious. What's going on here? And he's saying that, listen, he's saying that about the Judaizers that had come down from Jerusalem and was spilling this other gospel. Well, there's other gospels today, folks. There's gospels today that say that you can live any lifestyle you want to and Christ loves you and you're okay. Well, let me tell you something. Don't tell those folks you love them. Because if you love them, you're going to say, listen, if you go the way you're going, bless God, the end thereof is destruction. There's a way that seemeth right. And if you think I'm fired up this morning, I am, bless God. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But God says the end thereof is destruction, is death, is hell. So you can go ahead and have your other gospel. You can go ahead and have your other way. You can go ahead and have your own lifestyle. And you may live to be 95 years old. But one day, bless God, your wind will go from you. Your air will leave you. Your lungs will stop working. Your heart will stop beating. Your mind will stop working. And the death angel will come for you. And you will be right there alongside the rich man who died and in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. Now that's the truth. That's not homophobic. That's not xenophobic. That's not anti-feminine. That's not any of this nonsense that you hear. That's the truth. And if you believe the gospel, you'll believe that. And so Paul says, man, I just can't understand this. I am so bewildered by this. And then he comes on over and to chapter 3, and that's where we ended up last week. And anybody know where we left off? We were talking again about redemption. How many of you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you can honestly say, I'm redeemed? You see, I know sometimes that we use these words and people want to say that, well, they're just religious terms and, you know, that's just words they use in church. And No. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not redeemed, you're still in an inferior position. You're still under the law. You're still under the curse if you're not redeemed. That's why redemption is so serious. That's why redemption is so important. If you're not redeemed, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're lost. And if you're lost, you're under the law and under the curse, and the end is going to be bad. It's just, I try to keep this as simple as I can. I don't try to make this complicated. There's two ways. There's a narrow way. There's a straight gate. There's a broad way, and there's a wide gate. Two. So what does that mean? Well, you come up here, and you say, well, am I going this way, or am I going that way? You say, well, I've never made a choice to go in the broad way. Well, if you didn't go in the narrow way, you did.
You're already in the broad way.
Hey. You're one of two. I mean, there's nobody out here in the middle, folks, with two roads on them. No, you're on one or the other. And that's what Paul is trying to tell these people. I thought you chose the right way. And now you're telling me, well, I did choose the right way, but these guys came down from Jerusalem, and they were really, boy, they were dignified. Now, I'm adding this in my own way. They were religious muckety-mucks, and boy, they just knew the law, and they knew everything. And they said, well, Christ is okay. There's nothing wrong with believing in Christ, but you got to keep the law, and you got to be circumcised. Let them be accursed is what I say. Christ is all you'll ever need. You know, I got a song. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all. And that's why he comes to chapter 3 and he's trying to show them the difference between the law and the curse and Christ and a blessing. But wasn't that how it's always been? Remember I took you back into Genesis and Deuteronomy? And I read to you where he said, I have set before you this day blessing, cursing, life, death, good, and evil. How many choices there?
Two.
I've set before you this day, this choice. But Jimmy, he's such a good God. And so good to have you back. Oh, my goodness, you don't know how happy I am. The only reason I could be happier is if my little girl sitting beside you, but I know she's got to work so you don't have to. Well, he's the one that said somebody's got to work. No, let me tell you, hey, if you can work as much as he works, yeah, thank you. So he works. I'm just playing with him. Anybody know what I was talking about?
Blessing and cursing, two choices.
He not only gives you the choice, Jimmy. You remember what Psalm says, the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Now I'm going to prove how good he is. I've set before you this day life and death. Choose life. He not only gives you the choice, he doesn't say, listen, I've got door number one and door number two. Now there's your choices. And he could have left it there. Choose you one. Might be right, might be wrong. Not him. He says, choose two. Life is behind number two. But you know what is so bad? The world is full of people saying, number one, I take one. And then they wonder why things don't go right when they see what's behind number one. When God told you to take number two. That's how it is, folks. Listen, the gospel is taught and preached in here every Sunday. And I'm sorry to say that these people goes out that door and chooses door number one. Now that's sad. I don't know about you, but that's sad to me. I got to hurry because I got so much to go. Run the clock back about 6 or 7 minutes because I went too long. All right, here we go. Now I'm going through the rest of three real quick and I want to get to four, okay? And if you want to, well, no, don't. Stay right here, and then we're going somewhere else.
Where are you starting?
Well, honey, I'm going to start right up here on 23. But before faith came.
Christ.
Thank you. My question was, someone read that the way we've been reading it. So it says, before Christ came, we were kept under the law, shut up into faith, which should afterwards be revealed. And remember, I took you back to where in Ephesians where it talks about him going at the cross when he died. He went and got those Old Testament saints that had believed in what he said, and they were kept there. And once the price was paid, the redemption was done, they were bought out. Bless God, he went and said, boys, come on, let's go. I told you I'd be here. You believed I'd be here, and here we go. But see, we don't do that today. We don't go to paradise today. When your breath leaves you today, if you're in Christ, to be absent from the body, Be present with the Lord. Listen, just before you can blink your eye, you're going to see him. Now, I don't know what that's like. I've never done it. But this says that's what's going to happen. So, he says, when faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under faith, which should after be real. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Now, why did it say the law was given?
To show us something.
Because of transgressions. Now, in other words, the law could never make you right. It could only show you that you were wrong. See, now I got to correct myself because I think I didn't listen to the CD, but I got to thinking about, and I do try my best to go over what I've said as much as I can remember. And I think I misspoke. And I think last week when we were talking about the law, and I said if you could keep the law to, you know, to perfection, you'd be okay. I think I misspoke there. You can go back and check me. If I didn't, it'd be okay. But if I did, it'll be okay. Because as the scripture points out, the law could not give life. See, so when you're born dead. Now, I don't understand this. I'm going to tell you this. But until a certain age, you're not saved, you're safe. Because Paul says, when the law came, I died. In other words, when I understood that I was lost, then I was lost. So I don't believe that 4 and 5 year old children are lost. I believe Christ paid for them. But when they become of age, and I don't know what that age is, they come to the road and they'll make their choice. And hopefully, if you have trained up a child in the way it should go, it'll make the right choice. Now, enough said about that. I hope that clears it. I think if you go back and listen, you probably did. I may have misspoke there. I think I did. I think I got carried away and said it wrong or something. Amen. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, when Christ came and paid the debt, and that means redemption. Remember, he bought us out of our contract with the law and the curse. He paid that. Well, once he's paid it, we don't need a schoolmaster anymore. It's not necessary. The debt's paid. See, that's what we have to believe. Yeah, and that's why, remember, he said, when he talked about the truth over in the beginning of chapter 3, he says, how you foolish Galatians, that you should not believe, that you should not obey, and we gave you 4 things that are not golden, but you should not obey the truth. And we said that the truth that he's talking about there is Christ crucified among you. Well, why was Christ crucified? He was crucified to redeem us. That's what it took, folks, to get us out from under the law and under the curse, was for him to become the curse. That's why he ought to get more praise in here, I think, than we give him. Amen. That's why he ought to get more glory in here than we give him. Because, listen, if you are saved today, you're saved because, bless God, the Holy Son of God became your curse and my curse, your sin and my sin, to redeem us. He not only said, choose door number 1, or door number 2, I'm sorry, I got the wrong door. Door number 2, he said, I'm going to do what it takes so you can. See, because if he don't die, you can't choose number 2.
Nope.
You're stuck at number 1. You got no choice. If he don't die, we got no choice. We got no life. We got no blessing. But because he did, we do. And here's what he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, someone read that, how I've been giving it to you. For ye are all children of God. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? We're all children of God. Amen. So what are we doing here? Oh, no, no, no. It didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Listen, we are not all children of God. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to read it to you like I've been giving it to you. For ye are all children of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ and being in Jesus Christ. Now, over to Romans 8. Romans 8, real quick. One of the greatest, sometime when you, in the morning when you get up and you just want to spend time in the Word, go to Romans 8 and just camp out there for two or three days. Now, you know the first verse sets the whole thing in chapter 8. It talks about there is, therefore, now no condemnation. Isn't that wonderful? There's no condemnation. Oh, no, no, no. See, the world wants to stop there. The world wants to say, I can live any old way I want to. There's no condemnation. God accepts us all. God is God of love, and he just takes us however we want to. No, 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 no. That's not what it says. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. In other words, it qualifies them. It qualifies me. It qualifies you. In other words, if you're not in Christ, you're condemned. Just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, you're condemned. But it says we're not if we're in Christ. So that's the position it's talking about. But I want to focus on over here because in verse 9, before that it's talking about the Spirit and the flesh. But he says, but ye are not in the flesh. You say, well, daggone. If I bite myself, I'm in the flesh. If I pinch myself, I'm in the flesh. Well, who are you going to believe, you or this? He says, but you're not in the flesh. Now, you're in flesh, but that's not you. If you're in Christ, that's not you. You don't act in the flesh. You act in the Spirit. You say, but Tom, sometimes, boy, I mess up. I didn't say you didn't mess up. I didn't say you didn't sin in the flesh. But that's not you. I went over and showed you in 1 John where it says, hey, he that is born of God sinneth not. You may commit a sin in the flesh, but it'll never touch you because you're in Christ. Christ is sinless last time I checked. Christ has never sinned last time I checked. So if you're in him, that's your position. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. Listen, either that's true or it's not. Now, you say, well, then I'll just go after and live it up.
No.
Well, if that's your attitude, you ain't in him.
That's right.
I mean, if you like sin, you ain't in him. But the flesh, sometimes, I don't spend as much time taking care of the Spirit as I need to, the new man, the inner man. And you know what happens when that happens? I foul up. I do something that's like a knife sticking in me, and I think, oh, how could I think that? How could I say that? How could I do that? That's why he says, walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So he's talking. What he's trying to do is let us know as children of God who we are. It's not a license to sin. Bless God, it's a license to live for him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is. I've set before you this day life and death. Well, if you stay in the flesh, bless God, you're staying in death. But if you choose the Spirit, which means if you choose to come to Christ and he places. Listen, we're going to get to it. I'll show it to you in just a second. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. How many of you have the spirit dwelling in you today? Raise your hand, bless God. I mean, is there any doubt about that? How could there be doubt about God living in you? I mean, seriously. How could you not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If you don't know it. You know, Peter says this. Peter says, make your calling and your election sure. Anybody want to finish that verse? You say, Tom, don't do that to us. I do that so that what I say next sticks with you. Because everyone was wording. Did anyone see? I got to digress here. Just say, does anybody watch America's Got Talent?
Yes.
I'm telling you, this lady was a ventriloquist. She came out there and she's wording. Her husband is backstage talking in a mic. And she's saying every single word of it. And if you think that's not enough, those four judges, they said, well, yeah, but you've memorized that. She says, well, you go ahead and say something. And buddy, just as sure as I'm standing here, they started talking and it was coming right out of her mouth. I don't know how they did that. I don't even know why I got on that. What was I talking about?
If Christ is in you.
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Y'all were mouthing that verse, but you couldn't finish it. He says, make your... Jesse, you'll be there one of these days, son. I mean, I realize you're young and your mind works, but you'll be there. You'll walk in the kitchen and say, what am I doing in here? Thank you. Make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, make your calling and election sure, you shall never fall. Go home and look that word up in the Greek. It means to fail of salvation. If your calling, and that's why, remember Paul says, man, I'm in shock. You people have removed yourself from him who hath called you into the grace of Christ. If you'll make sure that you've been called into Christ and that you've been elected, the word elect means to select or choose. You chose Christ, but you know what else happened? He chose you. He said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you. If you'll make sure of that, you will never fall. Anybody know the verse that says, he that endureth to the end. Now, how does it end? The same shall be saved. Now, does that mean that once he saved you, boy, you got to endure. I mean, you got to stick in there. No, I love you, son, but that's not true. No, what that means is, if the Spirit of God's in you, he ain't never going to leave you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If the Spirit of God's in you, you're going to endure to the end. And the same shall be saved. If you're saved now, truly saved, if you know you're calling an election, sure, you're going to be saved when you leave this world. Or when the Lord comes to get you, guess what? You're going to be found saved. We don't know what we shall be, he says. But we know that when he appears. Now, let me tell you something about appearing. I realize that probably more than likely means his coming. But I take it a little different myself. Now, I'm a little quirky, as y'all know. Let's say I die and I don't get raptured. Well, let me tell you something, Jimmy. As soon as the last breath leaves me, who do you think I'm going to see? He's going to appear. Whew, glory. And I look back, Brenda. I'll come over and talk to you. I ain't talked to you in a while, honey. Daggone, I've missed you. I look back on my life since February 1982. I've said things I wish I hadn't said. I've done things I wish I hadn't done. I've thought things I wish I hadn't thought. But when I lose my last breath, he's going to be there. Because he's not basing it on me. That's works. That's the law. He's basing it on him. And I'm sure he's going to be there. I don't know how. He may just send an angel. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? I mean, think about that. Last breath leaves you, next thing you see is an angel says, "The Lord sent me after you, son." It's going to be a little tough ride here now. We're going to get a little, what do you call that, where you're in a turbulence. We might get a little turbulence from all them evil demons that we got to go through. But don't worry. We're going to get there. Well, glory, I don't know about y'all, but that's shouting stuff. Huh? Maybe y'all ain't close enough to death yet. Had somebody say this morning, they got COVID and didn't want to die of COVID. And they said, "Lord, let me go some other way. Just don't let me go of COVID." Well, it won't matter.
Right.
When your last breath leaves, he's going to be there. He's going to appear. That's what he says. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yep.
Well, how is he? He's the glorified Son of God. He ain't the suffering servant. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Blessed God, he's the one on the white horse that's coming back out of heaven to bring judgment on this world. That's who he is. But he's my God.
Amen.
No wonder Paul said, "I can't believe y'all have left yourself from him." My goodness, who could leave him? I ain't wanting to leave him. I can tell you that right now. You say, "Tom, you bragging?" No, I'm just telling you, I ain't wanting to leave him. Where was I in Romans here? Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. They might not be. They ain't going to be. They should be. They ought to be. No, bless God, they are. Sons of God. We're going to get to that. Maybe not today. I got carried away here today. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to... Now let me tell you something. February 1982 at a red light, got saved. I've never been afraid. I've been shaken. Never been afraid. I've never once been afraid of dying. I've never once been afraid that I didn't belong to him. I've never once worried about not being his. Why? "Well, Tom, you live such a good life. I tell you, son, people talk about you all the time, how good a Christian man you are." And no. No, because the Spirit inside me. God ain't afraid of no one or nothing. Well, if God's inside me, why would I be afraid?
Amen.
See, the reason people get afraid, maybe bless God, God ain't in there. The reason people start doubting, maybe God ain't in there. I've never doubted. Listen, I'm not bragging about it. I've never doubted. Because God's in there. And God says this, Jimmy. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the age. Well, then what would I fear? Who would I fear? Why would I fear? That's what he's talking about. That's what having the Spirit means. I lay down at night. I never lay down at night. You know what I think about when I lay down at night? God, if I don't see light here, I'm going to see light there. Hey, if when I wake up and it's not light outside, I'll be with you. I'll see light. It's what he said. I am the light. He that believeth in me gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, if you're a son of God, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, let's see what else you got. I know you got Christ because that's what the first thing said. You know, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. And if you're in Christ, the Spirit's in you, right? Well, guess what else? It's so good. He says this. And if children... No, I'm sorry, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. Abba. I never called my father, my dad, father. I called him dad. It's a term of endearment. I called him that because he supplied what I needed as best he could. I had food. I had clothing. You know what I had mostly?
Love.
Love. All those things that an earthly father could give me, my dad gave to me. No, he didn't. His father supplied them. And he got them from his father. And he gave them to me. See, nothing is done without God. You may be the best dad or mom in the world. If you are, give God the glory. Because he says, if you have the Spirit... Then he says, you can cry Abba, which means father, or it's a term of endearment where we would use dad. It means you're in a different relationship. Your father, your dad. Well, I can't call him dad. He may have been a wonderful person, but I can't call him dad. Only you could. Because only you were in his family. I wasn't born into his family. But Jimmy, we both can call God Father because we both have the Spirit. That's why I say, if you don't have the Spirit, boy, you better check up on yourself. Because if you ain't got the Spirit, you ain't got Christ. And if you ain't got Christ, you ain't got the Father. See, we forget sometimes that the Godhead lives in us. Jesus said, I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you. So here we got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit inside you. No wonder he said in chapter 2, you remember in chapter 2, he says, nevertheless, the life I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God. Jimmy, if you do something that gives God glory, don't take the credit. If you do something that gives God honor, don't take the credit. It's God. He's doing it. And therefore, we should be giving him the glory. Lord, thank you that you would just make me a vessel of honor to be used by the Master. That's all we are. That's all we'll ever be. So then he comes on down there and he says this, and I got to hurry. He says, and the Spirit itself, if you don't like this, I can't help you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the... Listen, if the Holy Spirit's not inside of you, bearing witness with your spirit that you're God's child, you better check up on yourself. I mean, listen, pardon me. If you can just go out here and live any old way you want to, and there ain't something inside of you knocking you down and saying, wait a minute. No, honey, we're children of God. We don't live that way more. That's the way we lived when we were in the world. That's the way we lived when we were lost. That's not the way God's children live. If that's not happening every day, you say, every day? Well, last time I checked, we're in this flesh every day. Paul says, I tell you, every month I have to kill the flesh. No, he said daily. I got to kill it every day. It's a war, Jimmy. I hate to tell you that. I mean, I wish it's all hunky-dory. But I got to tell you, folks, we're in a war. You're in a war between the flesh that is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and the spirit that dwells inside you. And it's a war. But the good news is this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You don't have to lose. No. You may lose. Well, you may lose a battle. But you'll never lose the war. Never. That war's been won. So he goes on and he says this. And if children. If children. Now what makes you a child of God? The Spirit of God in you. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with. That brings us to chapter 4. And he gives an example in chapter 4 there as it starts, because the very last verse of chapter 3 says this, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Well, remember, that's not plural, that's singular, right? Well, who's Abraham's seed? Christ. He's done told us that. So here's what he says, and if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whose promise? God's promise. God's promises, the Bible says, are always yea. They're never nay. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. And I cannot fall. It's two, doesn't it? Listening every moment. There you go. To the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Oh, I'm standing. So he says, now in verse 1 he says this, and I'll have to just read it and say a few words and quit. Now I say, or he says, let me put it to you like this. That another way of looking at it. That the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, illustration, and I'll wind down, be done here in a minute, because they'll start sticking their head in all that stuff. I'm wealthy. Hypothetically, I'm wealthy. I've made, let's see, who's got a, oh, I've made Brady. I've made Brady the heir of everything I've got. He'll be wealthy. But I say in the will, I say this. Brady, until you're 25 years old, you don't get one thin dime. Now, Brady's what, 15, 16, 14? Well, that's close. He's 14 years old. He's wealthy. But not until he's 25. And not until I am dead. Here's what it's trying to say. Because remember now, he's comparing the law and grace. When you're lost, even though you've been offered everything, you can't claim any of it.
That's right.
Because you're not of age. Anybody ever read Hebrews? Mm-hmm. There's a word in Hebrews translated perfect. You can go look it up. It's mentioned many times. In fact, it says, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Forever. That means you're perfect forever, right? Mm-hmm. But the word perfect means of full age. It's synonymous with salvation. Because until you're saved, you can't get anything because you're not of age. See, just like at my illustration, I set the age of 25, right? Well, God set an age too. Until you're in his son, you ain't going to collect a dime. Though you're heir to all of it. Now, I know that because of what it says. And here's what it says. And then I want to finish, but I can't. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the law. What is that? He's talking about the law there. Remember you were kept under the law? You were kept. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent, oh, don't miss that. God sent forth his son. Let me tell you something. Where was the son? He and the father are
one.
Well, here's what happened. God just sends forth himself as his son.
Amen.
That's what it says. When the time was right on God's calendar, just sent himself and his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his son could do only things that God could do. He says, hey, if you believe me, if you won't believe the words I speak, believe the works that I do. I mean, who could say to a blind person, see, and they see? Who could say to a dead person, get up, and they get up? But God. So God sent himself there in the form of his son, made of a woman. Now, everybody, well, in this day and age, bless God, who knows? But everyone knows that a woman of herself can't have a child, folks. That ain't never going to happen. They can sit up there and talk this nonsense. This country's insane. But folks, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, too. Sin's the cause of all this nonsense that we see going on. But anyway, back to my story. He says, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Oh, I'll pick it up next week.